Ready or not, here we come. On this week's Film Critics Weekly, we're going to be reviewing the horror comedy Ready or Not, the action thriller Angel Has Fallen, plus our film pick of the week, and plus we're going to rehash the summer movie season. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Film Critics Weekly, presented by the LA Online Film Critics Society. I am Kit Bowen, an honored member of the LAOFCS and a film critic for Screen Picks. You can find me on Twitter at TheMovieKit. And I'm very pleased to have a wonderful panel of women today to talk about the movies. So I'll have you guys introduce yourselves. Tell us where you're from and where we can find you.
I'm Jana Nascimento Nagasi. You can find me at Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Jana on Camera, and my blog is janaoncamera.com.
And I'm Angelique Jackson, and I am one half of Love It or Hate It with this lady right here.
And I'm Elizabeth Stanton. I'm the other half of Love It or Hate It, and we are on SoundCloud, iTunes, and we're on Twitter and Instagram at Love Hate Movies. I don't remember which underscores go
where. It's okay. It's in the lower third somewhere. You can figure it out.
Underscore.
I'm so good at social media.
Yeah, I know. Twitter is my thing right now. Yeah. So anyway, we'll just dive right in. Okay,
sure.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so I thought we all hadn't seen Angel Has Fallen, but Angelique has seen Angel Has Fallen. This is the sequel to London Has Fallen.
Yes.
Starring Gerard Butler as a Secret Service agent who once again has to save the world, but this time around he's being framed, right?
Exactly. This time around it's very fugitive style. Mm. So Morgan Freeman is now our president, and he... there's a horrible assassination attempt for which Gerard Butler is framed, and this is the third in the series of
third
movies. Yes, yeah. So it all started with Olympus Has Fallen.
Right.
Yes.
London Has Fallen.
Yes, mm-hmm. Then London, and now we are at Angel Has Fallen because he's the president's guardian angel.
Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, I did go into it thinking, I was like, oh really, again, another one? And in some ways, yes, some of the action gets a little contrived and a little ridiculous, but that's sort of what you're going in for. You get exactly what you ask for from this movie, from beginning to end. Even the surprises and the twists and turns that I had figured out in the beginning of the movie, it still was actually kind of interesting seeing how it all played out. The action's good. They make Morgan Freeman do some stunts at the beginning of the movie.
Great.
I mean, let's not get crazy. He's not, like, fighting anybody. He just has to go underwater. It's in the trailer. Sorry, you know, it's not really a spoiler.
Morgan Freeman just taking swings at people, right?
I mean, I feel like, you know, if they do another one, they could maybe get him to, I don't know.
But what else is going to fall?
I mean, they seem to keep finding other things.
Moscow could fall.
Jenga has fallen.
I think Amazon can fall.
Yeah. But what is it about Gerard Butler? I'm just curious, because you're a big fan, right?
Is that big fan.
I'm the stan.
Why do you love him so much?
Yeah, and why does he keep making kind of these kinds of movies? Why doesn't he try to branch out, do something
bad
different,
Bad agents,
dude?
From what I can tell. I have no idea. I don't want to pass that much judgment.
Well, I will say this. This movie he's actually a producer of. So this is his baby, this little franchise here. So I think he maybe just likes the action.
Yeah.
And in this one, he said that they really tried to change it to be a movie not just about a man who is, like, an amazing superhuman fighter, but someone who's actually dealing with some issues and dramas with, I don't want to get into too much spoilers, but, you know, the actual repercussions of, like, what it's like to be this person and, you know, have this kind of fighting lifestyle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Secret Service agents are always a good anti-hero, you know, Clint Eastwood. Mm-hmm. I love that one in The Line of Fire. That's probably one of my favorites.
For our surprise, this year he voiced one of the characters in How to Train Your Dragon 3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's been the dad in all three of them.
Yeah. So, Secret Service, just fighting.
What grade would you give, Anne?
Oh, sorry.
I would. Are we doing a star system or
it's a grade system?
A grade system?
A through F.
I am gonna give this one actually like a B B-. It's really, it's, you know, for the movie that it's trying to be, it does a very good job. It's effective at that.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
And the set pieces, I'm sure, were pretty good, right?
The set pieces are pretty good. The action is shot well. That was probably the hardest part to get through for me. I just didn't really think about just how violent it is. Mm. And it's really violent. It's a lot of very close-up action, a lot of close-up gun violence, and they do not try and make it, you know, pretty. It is gritty.
The first one was, I watched the first one. It is insanely violent. Yeah. There was, like, tons of, like, execution-style, murder and people being beaten to, like, a pulp, and I was like, this movie's rough. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because, like, I came for Gerard Butler, and I sat through it for him, but to answer your earlier question about why I liked him, I can't remember the exact first thing I saw him in that I was like, oh, yeah, I really like that guy. But I think he has range and then kind of fell out of using range.
Yeah.
Like, probably, unfortunately, after 300, which I know is probably his biggest hit.
Yeah.
But he's good in that
for
the most part. And then I think he got into this action cycle, but never quite got to where he needed to be.
Because,
there's a movie called Dear Frankie that I really like that's very quiet and, like, he's, you know, it's kind of a complicated plot for a relatively small, simple movie, but he's very good in that in just a very quiet, understated way. And I actually, during my birthday dinner, I told everyone, made them sit through me explaining this movie called The Light... Oh, shoot. The Lighthouse Keepers? Or The Keepers, I think
the
UK title of it. And he's a lighthouse keeper with two other guys, and they all kind of get to a breaking point on this island during a storm and everything, and there's a little mystery and murder and stuff, and it's really, really good. I actually, like, it got, like, no release. It's, people don't know about it, but I'm like, he's very good in it. It's showcasing his range outside of this kind of, I hate to say it, discounty Liam Neeson kind of
you're right, he is.
Yeah.
He's like Liam Neeson.
I love my Gaelic Celtic guys, but he's definitely doing, like, second tier Liam Neeson.
He also did a romantic comedy with Hilary Swank.
I love you. I was like, how did you not bring that up right away?
I know, because it's not, because I don't like Hilary Swank that much, so it's not my favorite.
Well, don't blame her.
I don't.
I like her.
But his bad Irish accent, even though he's got a Scottish accent, it really cracks me up.
Well, you know, look, if he keeps making these movies and they make money, you know, God bless him.
Hey, White House Down didn't survive.
Right?
And that was Channing Tatum, Jamie Foxx.
True.
Bomb.
Arguably the bigger stars.
Yes.
And what you would have thought would have been the bigger film.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then this got the franchise instead.
I'm rooting for the fallen franchise. Yes. They were the underdog.
Probably because it wasn't that expensive to make, and they were like, let's just keep making them. Yeah. So, okay, great. So I'm probably going to see it at some point. I'm an action junkie. I love it.
Oh, then yeah, you'll like it.
Moving on, we're going to talk about the next movie, which I think you didn't get a chance to see.
Yeah,
right?
I did not finish this one.
But the three of us, it's Ready or Not. Mm-hmm. I guess it's a horror comedy, or comedy horror, whatever.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. There's definitely comedic moments to it.
Well,
a lot. Quick, brief synopsis here. A bride's wedding night takes a sinister turn when her eccentric new in-laws force her to take part in a terrifying game. Yeah. I would say that's pretty much accurate in the description of the movie. It stars Samara Weaving, who is the niece of Hugo Weaving.
Oh.
If you didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, she is.
That.
She is from The Matrix.
I'm looking at the photo of her now. I can kind of see.
Yeah,
like,
a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, familial.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, Adam Brody from The O.C., Andy McDowell, Henria Cersny, and Mark O'Brien. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let Janice start on this one. Yeah. What did you think?
I enjoy. I will say a lot. I thought that it was, like, well done. Mm-hmm. I think the Samara, like, kick ass on the movie. I think she's, like, pretty. And she's the movie, I think. And of course, she has a good cast around her. And the script is good. I think I just love it, everything about it.
Yeah, how about you, Elizabeth?
I had a ton of fun. I went and saw it, like, in the middle of the day, so it wasn't, like, a full theater, which I can only imagine what it would have been with a full theater. It would have been way more fun, probably. But it was super entertaining. I definitely laughed a lot. Yeah, the cast is great, because they nail the comedy part of the horror comedy stuff.
Right, and that's hard to do.
Yeah. And there's a little social critique in it, But it's interesting because I don't know if we want to get into the the Hunt being banned and then this didn't get banned.
Yeah.
And they're definitely hunting a person in this movie, but I guess it's different. It's actually not different at all.
It's really not. It's really not different.
So I don't know if it's because this was all being played as comedy that people weren't as up in arms, and that was
a more complex issue at hand. Yeah, we won't get into the whole hunt thing. I think that was a mistake, but
yeah.
I mean, I understand some of the mentality behind that, or some of the ideas or the theories behind that kind of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But this one definitely, you know, is more streamlined into just the idea that this family has to do this because if they don't, then something bad will happen. Yeah. Kind of,
or they think something bad.
Exactly.
Will
just in case.
But it's the weird sort of Addams Family kind of vibe I got that I really liked a lot. Mm-hmm. The house is super creepy.
I love that gothic-y house.
But, I love heroines like Samara Weaving's. There's another one that I really love called You're Next. I don't know if you guys remember
that. I did see that, yeah.
I just love it when they don't do exactly what you think they're going to do. So she does kind of play a victim a lot of the times, and she's, freaking out. But then she kind of gets it together, and I love that. I love that. I love when she gets it together, and she's like, I'm just going to grab this, I'm going to grab that, and she's... You root all the way through for her, we're not going to say how it if she lives or dies, but it's still she gains your confidence because of how she portrays the character,
and she gets it together believably. My biggest issue with Your Next, which I guess spoiler for a several year old movie now, is the final girl in that. Out of nowhere, they're like, oh yeah, she used to live on a survivalist compound, and that's how she knows how to make all these traps. It came out of nowhere, in my opinion.
It didn't for me, though, because she kind of talks about it at the beginning of the movie, that she kind of has this weird background, this weird family survivalist thing. So I kind of, but I know what you're saying. It did a little too convenient for why she's so good at what she does.
I think that was my bigger issue. It was like, wow, it's really convenient that she was at this crazy dinner party where everybody started getting murdered, and how she can create elaborate traps in return, whereas this is, she's a normal, average woman and is being resourceful in a way I think we would all try to be if we were in that situation.
Maybe.
Makes me wonder, like, could I make it out of this? Like, I don't think I would.
Well, it's the running part, It's like,
thank you.
They'll never get away. They can just never get away. No. It's like, just walk down the street and go. Just keep walking,
I know they're going to stay there.
Yeah.
I spoke with Andy McDonald, and then she was like, she told that the whole cast was like so into the character, so into the scene, so into the script, so that she loved it. And this is her first movie, like horror movie, this type of movie. Because all of the other ones was like more comedy, more romantic.
Yeah.
And then she told me that everybody was into the movie, to do this.
Yeah.
What they did.
Well, she's definitely a badass in it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But she's also a mom, too. I mean, you're right. There's just so many elements to this that makes it work for what it is. And it gets pretty wacky.
And a tight running time. Yes. Hour and a half.
That's
is as long as that movie needs to be.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm going to go back to Angels Fallen real quick. I might actually have to downgrade it because that movie is nearly 3 hours long.
No reason for that.
There's literally no reason for it, and it's a problem. So never mind. They just got a C+.
C+. Downgrade.
Okay.
Angel has fallen.
Angel has fallen.
For real.
Yeah. So anyway, Elizabeth, what would you give a grade for Ready or Not?
Solid B movie.
Yeah.
Super entertaining.
Yeah, B plus for
B plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I might do B plus too, just an extra plus because I really thought Samara was great, and I think I'm curious to see what she'll do next.
Yeah.
Because this was a good jumping off point for her.
Yeah.
I think, so.
Because did anyone see that Babysitter movie she was in on Netflix?
No, I never saw it.
It's another weird horror comedy thing, and she's the villain in it actually. But she's like a super cool babysitter who's like going to do like a crazy devil ritual with her charge.
Of course.
And Bella Thorne's in it and a bunch of other people.
Oh, she's in that one.
Yeah, she's the babysitter.
Oh, she's the one who brings all her friends in.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But she, and I,
Was that comedy too?
Yeah, very heavy on the comedy versus the horror part. And it's a bit of a mess of a movie, but she is like definitely a standout in it. And so I'm glad she's in this because I think this will bump her up to where she rightfully should
be. You know what my favorite horror comedy, though, is? I think Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it's like perfect.
Yeah. It's absolutely perfect. It really is. Yeah. That's one of, if you guys ever haven't seen that, absolutely 100% go see that.
Check it out.
Cabin in the Woods. But also see Ready or Not now. Okay, so that leaves us to the LA Online Film Critics Pick of the Week, which is Brittany Runs a Marathon.
Oh, my God.
I'll let you guys talk about this first. Let me go through it real quick. It's about a woman living in New York who takes control of her life one block at a time. Mm-hmm. Stars Gillian Bell, who has been playing hilarious sidekicks in so many movies, but now she gets this chance to shine. Also stars Michaela Watkins, Micah Stock, Lil Rel Howery.
Yeah,
is that how you say it? And then I actually went online to see how I could pronounce Jar's name. It's Itkarsh Mbakar.
Oh my God,
I said it right.
Let me see it.
Yeah, Itkarsh Mbakar.
Oh, baby.
Anyway, that's pretty much it.
That one.
let Elizabeth start us off on this one.
I really enjoyed it. I also am going through my own fitness journey, as it happens, at this very point in time. I hired a trainer earlier this year.
Good for you.
So I was really pumped when I saw the trailer for this movie, because I was like, that's my life. Who stole my life rights?
Yeah, she did say that. I can attest to it.
So I liked it, and I liked that it's not in the movie so much about, oh, she's heavy, she needs to lose weight. That's not the point of it. That's like a bonus of starting to do this physical activity. And I think some people are still mistaking it as like, oh, she has to lose weight and be accepted by society. I was like, no, what she's finding over the course of the movie is that like a confidence and taking care of herself and coming out of her shell in that way is what's beneficial by learning to do the running and having this goal of doing the marathon. I have no intention of running a marathon. I'm doing all like strength training stuff because I do hate running and I've never been good at it. Never will be.
No, but it is good for you. I mean, it can
be great.
Yeah.
This movie did not inspire me to run.
It didn't inspire me to run. It inspired me to keep up with the fitness that I've been doing. But I liked the, without giving away, there is like a scene where they really address that, I think.
Yeah.
That point that it's not, you can be happy at whatever size, it's all what you're doing with your life and how you're approaching it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that dinner scene, I think, is
good.
Yeah.
The feel good, like, exactly. From inside out. Like,
yeah.
That is the point. I loved it.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. Okay.
Finish talking.
I love it. I just love it. Like, I enjoy a lot watching. When I was watching, I relate to. I thought, oh my God, that's my story, like back years ago, not right now. But like, and I just love her, the way that she changed. You see her evolve on the character as well. I enjoy every step, every block.
And it's written, directed by Paul Downs Colasio. And he was inspired by his friend.
Yes, his friend. And her name is Brittany.
Oh, her name is Brittany. Yeah.
And then he did a little change. I spoke to him too. Mm-hmm. He changed a little bit of the story. He include the character of Lil Rel. I don't know how can I say his name.
Lil Rel.
He include. He changed a little bit his character because they talk about it and everything was like super cool.
Now I wasn't quite sure. Was that her adoptive brother? Or was that?
So he's her brother-in-law, but he's just like he became a father figure because they're so much older than she was when her dad died.
Right.
So her dad died when I guess she was a late teenager. Yeah. And she,
okay,
they
kind I was
of
kind of a little confused
her.
By that. What about you?
This movie was at the top of my list after everything in Sundance and it going to Amazon for $14 million. And I had heard such amazing things and I was going to be so disappointed if it wasn't good. And I had recently been disappointed by quite a few movies. I've been really, really upset.
Don't go there.
But this one, I know I sat in the theater and cried a little at the end. And I think everyone in the everyone in front of me was crying when she was running. Like, it just is one of those movies that it just makes you realize how alike we all are. Mm-hmm. All of the things that we all go through, yes, it's from this lens of this girl that is, you know, starting out just trying to lose weight. It's really more about just getting your life together, getting your life where you want it to be. The messaging is just so powerful. The mm-hmm. way it's presented is so powerful. I think it's really interesting having someone like Jillian play the role. Mm-hmm. I know it was very important to her to get this chance to be a lead actress, mm-hmm. but she's also so naturally funny that the audience for the whole first mm-hmm. like 30 minutes of the movie is laughing, even though if you're really feeling it, you're like, no, this is her defense mechanism. Mm-hmm. Like, it almost like hurt me to hear everyone laughing. Yes. I'm like, you can't hear her crying inside. But it was, I just thought it was really well done, and especially for like a first feature, something that was so personal to Paul and to Brittany, and it just fired on all cylinders. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it definitely, I loved it too. And but the thing is it really doesn't present anything kind of new in a way. No. I mean, I think the themes in this film you've seen many, many times, you know, the self-discovery, the you know, the falling off the wagon, so to speak, you know, and climbing back up. It was Jillian Bell's performance that really puts it,
That's right.
At the very top, because she is so genuine in this, mm-hmm. and she is hilarious. I mean, 22 Jump Street. I mean, and that, but the scene in this movie, at the beginning when she's with her theater friend, she's like, well, I don't know why you keep calling me Brittany. My name is Babe. I'm just trying to find my phone.
I'm lost in the city.
She's got a tape on her nose like that. I'm just like, this is who she is. Yeah. That's who Jillian is right there. And I know, did you get a chance to speak with her as well, anybody? I'm curious to hear what you have to say, but, you know, I know that she actually also transformed for this film and did that. I mean, I'm sorry, you can't run like that and work out and you're gonna lose weight. Yeah. I mean, that's just what happens. But it wasn't about weight, you're right. Yeah. It wasn't about weight, it was about finding her self-confidence. And to be honest, her character kind of bugged me sometimes. And she's very frustrating for me, I felt.
We've all met that person where they're like, they complain about where things are in their life, or you've been that person, and like, we've all done that, where you're like, things suck, I don't like where I'm at, I'm not happy.
But she's also so stubborn and proud.
Yeah. And isn't doing anything about it because, you know, especially when people, like, compliment her or anything, she can't accept that love. She's like, I mean, because she feels like she doesn't deserve it, so she, like, outwardly is, like, mean about it.
Or, like, I can't accept this money. I can't do that. I can't do this myself.
And you don't want to accept...
You just want to go, just
smack her.
Get a clue.
And you don't want to accept the help or advice. Mm-hmm. And you can't be open to that until you... are ready yourself to accept it. But I think it accurately shows that kind of like attitude of like, well, everything sucks, I'll just stay in the cycle of like eating bad, sleeping bad, not trying at work or life or whatever. And then I liked that Michaela Watkins character.
I liked her a lot.
She's so good.
Was like, you have to have a little goal, it doesn't have to be a big thing. And I think that's kind of interesting. Like, the marathon is a pretty big goal, but initially she does start with just all she's going to do is run one block.
And then she finds these people kind of kindred spirits to run with her. But so you spoke with Jillian. I'll get each one of you. What was one thing that struck you about speaking to her about this?
She was like, I love talking to her, of course, and she was so into the character. She was like, when she read the script, when she found out about Brittany and everything, she wanted to do it. She wanted to play. The only thing that I found out about her, she's not gonna run a marathon, never in her life.
Amen.
Amen.
It's too much.
You don't have to be that kind of a method actor.
She loved working like with Paul, with everybody, and then she's really happy that everybody's loving the movie.
Well, that's always a good thing. Yeah. How about you, Angela?
I spoke to her and I was speaking to Michaela about that whole, the method part of it, that she lost 40 pounds while making this movie, and then to do the before scene, she had to have the prosthetics, but even more than like the physical transformation that she had to do, she really stayed in character in between scenes because of how vulnerable that this movie asked her to be. Like, it's, you know, and I'm not an actor, but I can't imagine having to go to this very bare place, this very open place of being willing to like share like your deepest, darkest, worst thoughts about yourself and portray them on screen like this, because the way that she acts is the way we all hide how we feel or how we act or whatever. But the big takeaway that I actually got was from Lorel, and basically the idea that this movie should just inspire you to take that first step. And I think that's what it does. It tells you that, you know what, as long as you're trying, that's all you can do in life is just keep trying.
No, I definitely felt that it was all about, you know, her and her and you know, and again, you root for her too, like you root for Samara, but this in this way that you just felt so, you know, genuine. I was bawling my eyes out. My eyes out, and I didn't expect to, you know.
Me either. I didn't know that was coming. I knew it was gonna be funny and like serious, but I didn't think I was gonna cry.
Absolutely. So let's give grades. What would you give?
I'll do like A-B+.
Okay. What was...
it's downgraded a little because I felt like it could have been just a slightly tighter. I wrote like, oh, things feel like they're going on just a hair too long.
Too much, yeah. No, but I agree with you.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a minor quibble compared to...
The way it
all came together.
Yeah. Angelique?
I think I'm going to agree with that A-, especially on the strength of Brittany's performance. Jillian's performance as Brittany. So on the strength of Jillian, it sticks with the A for me, but I agree that there were definitely moments it could be tighter. It does feel in a lot of ways like a first feature. And you know, that's great. If you're starting out this strong, good for Paul.
Yeah.
I give it an A.
I think I might do it A- as well. I think there was parts to it I felt could be a little tighter, better than that.
Yeah.
Just a really good movie. Cause that kind of brings us to summer movies in general. I feel like that this past season was not a strong one, in my opinion. But
not at all.
But I mean, we can. I'll get all your opinions. But in the fact that these indie movies, I feel like some of really great movies of the summer were all indie movies.
Yes,
right. Including this one, which kind of ends the summer. You know, you have this one. You have The Farewell. You have Booksmart. You have Loose. You have all these really good indie movies. But the big movies were just So what did you think? I mean, what are your feelings about this summer movie? Was it a success or?
I was okay. I agree with you with the indie movies and all of them. Like, we have Peanut Butter Falcon, Smart, this one, Loose. All of them are like really great movies, and then the big ones from the biggest studios have one or two. And I was like, I love Dora. I love that one. But if you look overall, it's not
just a strong one
towards the end.
What do you think?
I completely agree. I mean, I love Hobbs and Shaw. That was fantastic, and I'm glad it did as well as it did. But as far as blockbusters go, that was one of the few big successes. Really, everything that people were talking about, and I think should have been talking about, were those indies. And I mean, it's a bummer that in terms of box office, some of them didn't do as well. I mean, The Farewell, not, you know, that's an anomaly, which is great. But like things like Booksmart and Late Night that really ended up faltering, even though they were so fantastic. It's like the one thing that scares me about Brittany. I'm like, please just go see this movie.
Well, that's our jobs.
Go
right see now.
Support this
honestly,
movie.
I feel like this whole summer has been our jobs to get people to go see these really great little movies like Booksmart. And you know, it's like, I don't know, I probably retweeted about, you know, 20 retweets. Go see Booksmart. You know, it's and then I think it did get, you know, I think it did help. People got we got the word out. So we're trying to get the word out for some of these. But what about you, Elizabeth? What's your feelings?
I'm wishing these indies were getting more attention and love, because everybody's very wrapped up in the, like, wow, everything made billions of dollars. And I was like, the quality's not there. And I don't mean, you know, I mean, like, from a story perspective. I don't mean, like, oh, like, it's a poorly made film or anything like that. Just, you know. And I, like, enjoyed something like Spider-Man Far From Home was very fun. And so, like, I don't hate that made money or anything like that. But, you know, people are like, wow, can you believe one studio's got the top 5 movies in the box office? I'm like, that is not a good thing, man. Like, because they're going to only pump out that product now. And stuff like Brittany, Booksmart, Farewell is going to have a harder and harder time getting out there for people unless they magically are like Ebenezer Scrooge and be like, out of the goodness of our hearts here at Disney, we will allow independent films to flourish, and we will keep pumping out Marvel films in the meantime, because that's just like printing money at this point.
Well, that's I think that does open them up to do both.
It does.
And that is, I mean, obviously they are going to just keep pumping out as much Marvel money as they can make.
The thing is, they're not going to necessarily, it opens them up to do both, but the fact that they're even like, well, I don't know about Jojo Rabbit now, it's like, you can't threaten ban that just because you're worried about offending what should be an incredibly small consumer base for you, Disney, unless you're pro fascist.
Yeah, right?
Which, depending on who you talk to about Disney, a lot of people think they're fascists. That's what
they do call it, the Mouse House.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I am one of these people who absolutely lives for summer movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want them. I want the big movie. I want the big action. I mean, it's Stops and Shaw. I'm going to definitely see that. But
oh, you're going to love it.
Yeah, that's good.
That's what I want in my summer movies. And I was just disappointed this year.
Yeah.
I just was. Yeah. I mean, Endgame started things off, and I loved it. I mean, okay. I'm sorry.
Same.
I'm very hot and cold on Marvel, and even I was like, Endgame was fun. It wraps everything up real nicely, and I had a good enough time.
I'm fully on board with the Avengers. I loved them from the beginning. I was super excited for that. It did not disappoint me. And then just it slowly started to go downhill.
Seriously. It was such a high point, and then nothing was landing. Mm-hmm. You know, we went through the Dark Phoenix situation.
Oh, my God. We love X-Men movies. Love them.
We all do, and then that happened.
That one, no.
Oh, well, so now what's going to happen? Is Marvel going to save the day for X-Men? Probably.
Probably. It's like they're going to rescue it from itself, but now we have the whole issue of Spider-Man. What's going to happen with that? That's the question. Like, is Marvel necessary for Spider-Man to be good, since there was no Marvel in Dark Phoenix and it was bad, and Sony made five Spider-Man movies and
whatever,
Most of them were not great.
Yeah.
So Venom was great. It was good. And they made a lot of money, and Marvel wasn't involved.
Yeah.
But what about the other X-Men movies?
Yeah.
Marvel wasn't involved either.
Yeah, those were pretty good.
We'll see. But you're right. It is. I feel like the summer movie is getting a little, it's going to be a little bit myopic.
Yeah.
Moving forward. And I hope that some of the other studios can step up and do some stuff beyond what Marvel ends up doing, or, you know, Disney.
Yeah.
But let me just go around here. We know we love the indie movies, and we've mentioned several of them. But let me ask, what was your favorite of the bigger movies from the summer?
Oh, the bigger movies from the summer. I'm trying to remember everything I saw. I think if I had to pick from big studio temples, I think I'd go with Far From Home. I had a really good time at Far From Home.
Yeah.
I laughed really hard.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah. It's a good one for sure. How about you, Angelique?
I think I'm going to stick with Hobbs and Shaw.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty wild and out there.
I mean, is it?
Yes and no. It's definitely a little more on the, you know, not Bondy side, but it definitely leans more into the spies and things like that than it does the driving. Yeah. And that's kind of what makes it different, having Jason Statham and having The Rock, and their big personalities do hold up. The cameos are pretty solid.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
I also laughed during that movie, but for far different reasons.
Tell me afterwards, but I want to know about Helen Mirren.
There's never enough. There's never enough Helen Mirren in any of these movies, and I'm so glad she's going to be in 9, and I hope she's in 10. What I really want is a spinoff of the Shaw family.
Yes.
Like, okay, cool. They have
Vanessa Kirby in it.
I asked them about it on the carpet, and everybody was very cagey, and I was like, okay, let's make this happen, y'all.
Hire her. How about you?
Okay, I'm in between two. Mm-hmm. I really love Far From Home, and I really love Dora.
Yeah.
The Lost City of Gold. I love it. I think it was the... she's so cute, Isabella Moner. Mm-hmm. We talk about that.
Yes.
And it's like a type of Indiana Jones type of movie. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy it. And I think Far From Home was better than Homecoming for me. And I think it was great. The way that they put together everything... The Spider-Man wasn't annoying as the first one. Homecoming was like, hate him. I was like, oh my God, this kid's so annoying. Wow. Stop it. Yeah.
Oh, I
want
I can feel it. Yeah,
but those are the two ones. But I also like it. Love it. Toy Story 4.
Well, you just stole my thunder. So, besides Endgame, which is I would have to say Toy Story 4 was my second favorite. I don't know. That whole franchise, it just kind of boggles my mind how each film has been just as great as the next one, you know? I think.
Sorry, I forgot there's cameras on me while I'm making faces. Whoops. Toy Story is not my favorite of the Pixar movies.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I'm a Monsters, Inc. girl.
Oh. Then you're going to be very excited about their Monsters show on Disney Plus.
Yeah. I'm not buying Disney Plus.
Well.
They got enough of my money.
Also, I really loved, I actually kind of really loved Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
That was my other one.
I wanted to like it more than I did.
But you know, it's very interesting. It's a very divided film with us.
I don't think it's in our best circle. Yeah. So many people are like, oh man, best film ever.
Oh, it's not his best.
First of all, his best is Jackie Brown. Let's just all accept that right here, now. His best is Jackie Brown.
Okay.
Let's declare a statement.
I have to disagree with you on that.
That's fair.
Something called fiction.
Okay. All right. Fair.
I really. There's something about this that I just, I was so engaged, and the whole thing between Leo and Brad was just spectacular. And it was hot, Brad. And I was just, I was in it. And yeah, I can get some of the criticism. Mm-hmm. I understand where people are coming from, but I like his sensibilities. I love when he plays with history like that. I do. Glorious Bastards was great too. Yeah. I thought that was long in the tooth for me, but
They both were.
Yeah, they were. But this one, for some reason, didn't feel like that way to me. I got into the Leo's, his spiral. I was there with him, and I felt it was more linear in a way that you saw the progression at the end of his career, and what he does. I don't know.
Early flashbacks kind of threw me. They were a little too long. I could have chopped those down a little bit because maybe the first 30-45 minutes I was sort of like, okay, let's get this ball rolling. But at the same time, I think that's why, for me, I liked it so much. It is so different than most of Tarantino's movies in terms of some of the style
around.
And I ended up appreciating that a lot more than
it's quieter too, which I think is a different approach for him.
Like
Inglourious Bastards, Kill Bill, all that stuff is very very loud and action heavy. Not that there's not violence until, but it comes so much later in the movie that the bulk of this is just this character study. I liked these two characters. They were interesting. I just don't know if I needed to spend as much time with them as I did.
It's definitely
a whole separate
film.
Podcast.
Well, it looks like we're getting short on time here, so I'm going to let you guys, go ahead and introduce or say where we can find you again, so we can wrap it up.
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and my YouTube channel, Janan Kerman, and my blog is janankerman.com.
And we're Love It or Hate It with Angelique.
And Elizabeth.
And you can find us on SoundCloud, on all the social media sites, and iTunes. Mm-hmm. And also follow each of us individually as well.
Yeah, well, thanks, guys. You can find me at The Movie Kid on Twitter. And next week, they're going to be doing a fall film festival preview on Film Critics Weekly. So join us next week. Thanks, everybody. Thanks again, girls.
Thank you for having us.
And definitely go see Brittany Runs a Marathon.
Runs.
Brittany runs a marathon.
Bye.
Bye. From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.